You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Italian politics has been in an immense state of chaos over the past week, as Prime Minister Mario Draghi has successfully resigned after having his former attempt rejected a week ago. This has come as tensions across political lines within the coalition government have reached their breaking point. Despite the PM receiving a vote of confidence, three other major political parties within the cabinet had refused to vote. To learn more, I spoke to VUW's Giacomo Lichner about the state of affairs across Italy, first asking where this divide in the cabinet came from.
I don't think the divide kind of developed over the last week. It's a divide that goes back, it really goes back decades, and certainly to more recent times. And in fact, it's a pretty understandable divide because the Draghi government have brought together a pretty unnatural alliance, what you would call a kind of national unity government of all sorts of parties. In fact, all the political parties except for the far right Fratelli d'Italia or Brothers of Italy party. So it's kind of natural that having inside the government both the sort of more left-wing parties and pro-business and even populist forces from the center-right, you would have those divides. And because of the emergency that came out of COVID and then out of high inflation and the war in Ukraine, those parties had sort of been held together around this fairly neutral, well-liked name of Mario Draghi. And it was inevitable that it would implode at some point. Although, of course, in the last week, the manner of its implosion has been quite interesting because it kind of was the government lost its confidence without losing a confidence vote, which is highly unusual. Although in Italian politics, highly unusual is kind of normal. Effectively, the divide came back to the fore because one way or another, you have political parties beginning to kind of jostle for position.
How has that worked that Mario Draghi has both had a complete vote of confidence, yet still has lost the support of several political parties to the point that he's now kind of been forced to resign? How did he get to having both confidence and no confidence at once?
Yes, so it's sort of a technicality of the vote that happened the other day in the Senate. Draghi was awarded confidence in relation to those who voted, but three key coalition partners did not vote. They didn't leave the Senate, but they also did not vote. Technically, he was awarded confidence, but only with 95 votes, which would not be enough to win confidence on a normal day. From two of the center-right parties, the League and Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia, and from the populist five-star movement on the more on the sort of left side of the political spectrum, they were sort of there was a sort of demonstration of strength of power in relation to the government. They were both pointing out that they would not support the government in future unless it met some conditions, and so technically Draghi obtained the confidence vote, but he knew that he would not be able to hold those parties together as he had done up to now. So effectively he resigned the following day, and this time it was clear that there was no option of him continuing. Just to add to that, it's an interesting decision because Draghi had the option of attempting to put together a government just with one of those two sparring sides. But he decided not to take that option.
It's interesting because this isn't the first time that he's tried to retire within literally the past week. He tried to retire about this time last week, to which his president rejected the resignation. What was the thing recently that originally put his resignation into place? What made this government implode?
Yeah, so there are kind of short-term reasons and slightly longer-term. So in the immediate last week, what happened last week was that the five-star movement refused to vote on a crucial economic package to fight inflation, and It didn't vote against it, but it refused to vote for it. And Draghi felt he was being blackmailed. And being a non-politician and technocrat who's been brought in from outside the political parties with no particular intention of standing for the next election, I think he decided he wasn't going to sort of play that game. And so he went to the President of the Republic and formally tendered his resignation as required by the Constitution. But actually, he had not suffered a vote of no confidence. At that point, the President of the Republic asked him to go back to both chambers of parliament. Italy has a bicameral system, and sort of ascertain whether there was confidence still for him or not. And that's what he did. In his speech, he claimed that the response within the country, which did take place, there were a number of calls from various sides, regional governors, mayors of key cities, even the Catholic Church sort of almost begged him to stay on, and so he gave it another go, let's say, but that obviously didn't play out.
So in the short term before the next Italian election in September, how are we likely to see Italy affected as a whole?
Yeah, the government will stay in place until September 25 when the new elections take place. So in terms of the sort of day-to-day, obviously the government of Italy will be secure. And in some respects, it will continue to do what's been doing up to now, which is sort of be part of that much wider European response to the triple crises of the post-COVID recovery, high inflation, and the war in Ukraine. After September 25, we will have to wait and see who wins. Italy has a similar, not completely the same, but similar system to New Zealand. So it'll depend on how parties are, how efficient they are at creating alliances and coalitions before the September elections. The centre-right is sorted. They've never, even though there's two of its three parties have supported the Draghi government and one hasn't, they've never really broken that coalition, so they will run together. But at the moment, the centre-left is in disarray. The five-star movement was put in a position where it felt it needed to break with Draghi or at least make its voice heard, because it had been really mauled in recent local elections. It had risen as a movement in the last 10 years that was able to kind of channel the voice of disaffected voters looking elsewhere, you know, kind of disaffected with politics as a whole and looking for a populist radical solution. But when the five-star government then entered, the five-star movement then entered government, inevitably it was kind of torn between a kind of governmental side and a more populist radical side. And so it was losing support, and at the moment it's quite low in the polls. And it's unclear whether it would be able to enter a coalition with the main centre-left kind of Labour-like party, which in Italy is called the Democratic Party.
So what does this say about the long-term future of Italy and kind of the state that country is in right now in the midst of the COVID pandemic and European heat waves? What does this say?
Ever since the end of World War II, Italy has had a strange kind of unstable stability, in the sense that, you know, for 50 years we effectively had Christian democratic-led conservative governments, but at the same time Italy became a bit of a joke internationally for having more prime ministers than governments, even at one point more prime ministers than years, I think. Even though the coalitions in government didn't change, the internal politics of those coalitions meant there was a lot of instability. And yet, on a macro level, Italy was quite a stable country. It has been a very stable country for a long time. Now, this is in a sense going to be tested if the centre-right win, because at the moment the leading party within that coalition is the far-right Brothers of Italy party led by Giorgia Meloni. And so a victory for that coalition will bring Meloni to BPM. She would be the first post-fascist, or in some cases, you know, some would say neo-fascist, prime minister of Italy, and that will shatter further a kind of consensus, an anti-fascist consensus that had kind of been in place from 1945, from the fall of fascism and the end of the war, until Berlusconi in the early 90s broke that consensus by making an alliance with what was then a small neo-fascist or post-fascist, depending on your perspective, part. So there'll be, in a sense, it could be a break. In another sense, I think it's not impossible to imagine a situation where, just like pretty much every other government, every other legislature that we've had so far, a centre-right government coming in after the September election could implode itself within, say, 18 months to 2 years. Because in the end, although it's an incredibly effective electoral coalition, it does bring together very different souls and very different ideologies. It's possible there'll be business as usual in terms of internal Italian politics. What would happen if the centre-right wins, I think, in the short term, is a strong steer of Italy within the EU. So I don't think there's a danger of leaving the EU, but I think certainly Italy would side with Orban's Hungary, with Poland in internal EU debates, and that would have possibly consequences for the European Union's ability, for example, to support the Ukraine, because the centre-right in Italy these days is effectively ethno-nationalist.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.